Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. We are excited tonight to get started in tonight's show. Tika and I, Tika's online with us as well. And before we get started, we just kind of want to reiterate on tonight's topic, tell you what that is. We're going to just switch up just a little bit. We're going to read you what the show description is tonight. But before doing that, just want to thank you all for tuning in. Tonight's topic is the spiritual versus social, or the spiritual and social significance of relationships. Thank you again to all of our listeners, especially our loyal listeners. We have many of you, again, that have been on with us since day one, and thank you. We are also having a number of new callers each week, so we are growing by the numbers. The last few weeks have really been a success as far as new people tuning into the show. So we know that that is because you are sharing the show with your families and friends, and we do ask you to remember to do that. And also remember, if you are ever unable to listen to any live show, the shows are available. They're all archived from day one. You're able to go out onto blogtalkradio.com/butterfly evolution, and you'll be able to listen. You have to do this by way of internet, though, so you have to have internet access to listen to any previous shows. So keep that in mind, and as you are telling people about the show, please let them know before they listen live. Maybe they want to tune in to some of our previous shows to kind of learn more about Butterfly Evolution, learn more about Tika and I, and just what we stand for and our purpose. So keep in mind, share that as you move along. We know that you have been, because again, we are growing and we are so thankful to you for that. Okay, just a few other reminders. I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat line. For those of you who are listening by internet on your computer, just keep in mind that the chat line, I'm opening it up now, so you will be able to submit a question or submit a comment by way of internet, okay? And you can do that at any time during the show. You don't have to do that now. So if we say something, if you have a question or a comment, just submit it by chat. Or you can call in, and again, remember, if you're on the phone listening, you have to select the number one only if you have a question or a comment. And that's, again, at any time during the show. It does not have to be right now that you select that number one, but feel free to do so if you know that you're going to have a comment or a question for this topic. So just keep that in mind. Again, we will continue to repeat that because, again, we do have first-time listeners, and we want them to be able to maneuver through the show and participate with the show as well. So number one, if you're listening by phone, only if you want to make a comment or a question, and if you are listening online, the chat line is open for your comments or questions. We're talking about tonight the spiritual and social significance of relationships. And I'd like to kind of bring you back to a topic that we discussed several weeks ago on toxic relationships or toxic relationships. And I think it's safe to say that this show is somewhat a continuation of that show, because toxic relationships, I think if we focus on toxic relationships tonight as well, hopefully, not necessarily focus, but as we go through this topic tonight, think about the relationships in your life, particularly those ones that, even if they're past, particularly if they're present, think about where your relationship is with God, because I do believe, or we believe, that is a significant, that plays a significant part in how you choose the people that are in your life, or how you allow people to remain in your life that are toxic for you, or that, you know, that's a toxic relationship for you. We believe, or I believe, that if you don't have a relationship with your Creator, then nothing, maybe let's not, I won't say nothing, things seem almost impossible sometimes, even the relationships that we have. So keep that in mind as we go through, because, again, when you don't have, I feel that when you don't have a personal relationship with God, you feel like you're constantly searching, or at least I know that I did. I felt like I was constantly searching to fill a void that only God can fill. Okay, so as we go through it, think about that. And before we get started, I also want you all to maybe get pen and paper out tonight, because this is a topic. I know all of the topics for me have meant so much to me, but this one I think will shape your life like no other topic that we've discussed, because I truly believe that it starts with your relationship with God. Your relationship with God will shape and mold, first of all, you. Secondly, all those relationships that follow, you're changed, you're different. So the way you see people, you see them differently. The way you respond, the way you react, the way you see things, it's different. Remember, we did the show on CEO to the Power of You. I'd like to think that God is my CEO person. So think about that as we go through. And I believe that all the topics that we've discussed thus far certainly play a great role in once you establish your relationship or know, because we don't really have to establish, because, again, God never moves. And I remember hearing the saying, if God seems far away, guess who moved? So it's up to us. It's a choice to choose God. It's a choice, furthermore, to establish a relationship with our Creator. And, again, I just think that that is the most important thing. Like always, I want to start with just giving you the definition of relationship, and we did that in the previous show, toxic relationship, and it's the same. It has not changed, of course, but I want to pull out a couple of words, or basically one specific word from that definition. But the definition of relationship is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. And so for the sake of this, as we did in the toxic relationship show, we're going to focus on two people connecting. We're not going to worry about the concepts and the objects, but again, two people connecting. And so basically, again, a state of being connected. And again, we're going to pull out connected in that specifically. And as we start, I'm sure it's safe to say that all of us want or have the desire or the need to feel connected to someone or something. You know, sometimes if we don't have a significant other in our life, and basically when we hear about relationship, the first thing or the first thought that comes to mind is, you know, a relationship, a love relationship. And some of you may have thought that's what we were going to discuss tonight, but we're talking about that relationship that's with our Creator, the first and foremost, the most important relationship, and again, with our Father. But again, we were speaking about feeling connected, and everyone at some point in time, most of the time, wants to feel connected, again, to something or someone. A lot of people that don't have significant others in their life or in a stage of loneliness, they kind of gravitate towards pets. Some people will get a dog or a cat. And that's being connected, that's feeling like someone loves me. But we want you to know tonight that God loves you. And so establishing that relationship with God is most, most important. I want Tika's on with us, and I'm going to allow Tika to give her introduction part, and then we'll just follow suit. And remember, if you have a question, have a comment at any time during the show, select the number one. The chat line is open. And we challenge or want our first-time listeners to just kind of make the decision tonight to select the number one and let us know that this is your first time listening, where you're calling from. And you don't have to. This is for everyone. You never have to provide your name when you're speaking. We certainly are okay with that, but you never have to do that if you're uncomfortable with doing that. But for our first-time callers, please just select the number one. And if you don't have a comment or question, just tell us. I'm a first-time caller calling from California and heard about your show through whatever source, okay? So please do that for us tonight. Tika?
Thank you, Tammy. Thank our listeners for tuning in with us tonight. And Tammy just mentioned about what the show's about with relationships. I'd like to give, she gave the definition of relationships, but in relationships we know that this includes not just your intimate, you know, partner or your spouse, or this is not just husband-wife relationship or boyfriend-girlfriend. This is mother, father, siblings, children, friends, associates, coworkers, employers, and et cetera. I'd like to define for you the two types of relationships, one being an interpersonal relationship and the second being an intimate relationship. An interpersonal relationship is defined as in having an association between two or more people that ranges from fleeting to enduring. This association can be based on love and solidarity, regular business interactions, and some types of social commitment. Interpersonal relationships are also formed in the context of social, cultural, and other influences, and they can vary from family or kinship, work clubs, neighborhoods, and places of worship. And they're also regulated by laws and customs through the mutual agreement and basis of social groups and your society as a whole. Interpersonal relationships also involve some level of interdependence. People in this relationship tend to influence each other, they share their thoughts and feelings, and they engage in activities together. The second relationship is an intimate relationship, and it's a particularly close interpersonal relationship that involves physical and or emotional intimacy. And physical intimacy is characterized by romantic and passionate love, where there is an attachment. The one thing that I found in this definition is that it tells that humans have a universal want to belong and to love, which is satisfied within an intimate relationship. So in intimate relationships, this consists of people that we're attracted to through love and being romantic with, and really putting emphasis on it saying that we have a universal need. We have a universal need to belong, and we have a universal need to be cared for. And so with Tammy saying, you know, our first and foremost and foundation of learning what a relationship is to have a relationship with our Creator. So how can we find this through another human being when God says that He will provide all that we need? And this longing, one thing I realized from my personal self, and I've also realized from just growing up with my friends and with my peers, when you're seeking to be loved, you know, if you were void of that love at home, growing up with whatever type of environment you grew up in, if there was a form of the pride of it, that you go my want to speak to making hard choices is partner to partner, seeking to fill that void, that intimate void of being loved. And in learning that this is something that is universal, and we have, this is a deep desire, a deep need and deep desire that we all have, this to me, let's learn this, this to me shows that, okay, if another human being can't give it to me because we're all, not to say we're all flawed, but none of us are perfect. None of us perfect, and we all have things that you know, we wish we could do our best in showing love. You know, we as parents, we know a lot of us have done this, we know how to do, but sometimes that's just never good enough, and sometimes our children don't understand what it's like to be a parent because a lot of it is trial and error, or we're going by our upbringing, what our parents did for us, and a lot of times that's what we're eating. Or sometimes we're taking some of the things that we saw our parents do and we don't want to repeat because it was something that hurt us. And we tend to look at others where we see the value values in them that we wish we had. And that's a lot of times the values that we want to have and carry and be able to teach it to our children. And so with learning that this is something that is a desire, you're going to walk through life constantly searching for it. And this is not something that another human being can provide for you. They cannot fill that complete void of this longing and this love relationship that you desire. It can be provided, however, through God, because He is our Creator. And actually, I'd like to also give an example if I could. if you really stop to think about it, one of the greatest joys that a person can have on this side of heaven, and what, you know, what is one of the things that we most long for? We most long for love. We most long to be loved, truly loved, unconditional love. And a lot of times even our parents cannot give us complete and unconditional love.
Okay.
In most
okay.
human
Thank
relationships.
You. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you paused there. I thought you were done. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to just kind of give kind of an analogy for what it means to have the relationship we got. When we're looking, when we desire to have this, God wants us to be a best friend to Him for your soulmate. Because one of the things, like I said, one of the things we long for is love. And one of the things, you know, when we go to movies and we see these movies bring tears to our eyes because the woman finds her soulmate at the end of the movie. These are things that bring tears to our eyes because that's something that we long for and we desire. And even though it's a movie, you know, there's times you just find yourself just all tearing up and your heart just racing and you're happy for that couple on TV, even though that's just a script put together. But that's something that we truly desire for. But God wants us. We see the soulmate on the, you know, big screen when we go to movies. But even though we long to have a soulmate, God wants us to have a friendship with us deeper than the soulmate we desire and long for. He wants us to be friends with Him and have an intimate relationship with Him. That's what it means to have an intimate relationship, not just, well, I read the Bible several times a week, or I go to church on Sundays. That's not an intimate relationship. That's just some things that you find time for. So it's several areas I want to, you know, also elaborate on, but I'm going to let Tammy, give it back to Tammy, and then just kind of see where she's going to go from here, and then I'll know where to proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Tika. Well, we left off on this part of the feeling of being connected, and Tika's kind of touched on that as well. And what I'd like to do is, first of all, again, put out there that a relationship with God, any type of relationship, it really is a choice. I think of people who are incapable of being loved. I've seen people, and even in my own life, but I've seen people where you know, and we're going to switch it to the husband-wife, so to speak, or a dating situation. It's obvious that person is loved by their mate, but some people really have issues with receiving love, with making a choice to be loved. And when you're doing that, most people that are that way, they've also made the decision not to have a relationship with God as well. So, again, I want to put that out, that even the relationship with God, it is a choice. It is. Seriously, a choice. Before going into some things, I want, again, as Tika pointed out, but before we elaborate on the husband and wife relationship, father, son, mother, daughter, sibling relationship, friends, you know, best friends. In this world today, we have such a high rate of divorce. We have fatherless homes. And to add to that, we have men who are designed to be the head of the household, who do not have a connection with their earthly father, which also disconnects them in some cases, most cases, with our Creator, with our spiritual father. So with all these things going on, mother-daughter relationship, I can't say enough about that. Siblings, you have sisters against sisters, brothers against brothers. You have a whole family of people who don't connect. So the relationship today in America, I think it is totally gone. You find very few families connecting, sharing, loving one another unconditionally, helping one another. You certainly see that at work. It's a dog-eat-dog at work. You don't have people forming and bonding honest relationships at work, and then friends. You very rarely come across people who have been friends for years, and even sometimes that doesn't matter. You will hear friends talk about and all kinds of things to people who've been their best friends for life. So before and if before going into that level of it, and we may not get to that point of it tonight, I'd like to start with simply a challenge for you all. Ask yourself, do you have a personal relationship with God? And if so, I mean, if it's yes, and that's a personal question for you, but if so, what does that mean to you? What does having a personal relationship mean to you, and how does it apply to your life? Okay, so again, for me, there was a time, as Tika mentioned, there was a time I was reading the Word every day. There was and going to church and volunteering, and in addition to that, doing everything that anyone asked me to do. Because as a Christian, you think, if I go to, well, once you get saved, accept the Lord as your Savior, all I have to do is basically go to church, read my word, be kind, be nice, never say no, so to speak, never ruffle anybody's feathers. And you think, okay, that's it. And so in doing that, it reminds me, I believe, that 2 Timothy where it says, having a form of godliness but denying God's power. There is so much more to God than going to church. We are the church. We take our relationship to wherever the place. You can have church at your house where two or more gather. So we have to have, this is one of those things that I'm just going to say, we have to have a relationship with God and know who we are in Christ. So as you go about this week or tonight, ask yourself, do I have a personal relationship with God? And if so, what does that mean to me? And to take it further, if you were asked, let's say if you were asked for by a non-believer, let's say, and I'm going to use this, I just heard somebody use this last week, the elevator speech. Say if you were in the elevator with a non-believer and got on the subject of your relationship with God, in an elevator speech, how would you describe your relationship with God? You're on the first floor headed up to the fifth floor. You don't have a lot of time. How would you give that person an effective speech to where he knows that you know who you are in Christ? And I think that it's important to think about things like that because so often, again, this is why we read the definition of things. We go through life and we just hear about things. We think we know. We think we have it all together. We're not reading. We're filling our minds with such garbage from TV, from radio, from the news, and all these things. And if, you know, certainly going to church, reading your Bible, connecting with other spiritual people, volunteering, all of those things are tools that will help build your relationship with God, certainly. But it does not mean you have a relationship with our Creator. So, again, as you go about your way, and if you want to share that, if you want to share what your relationship is with God and what that means to you, either tonight or on another show, feel free to do so. But do it for yourself. Again, that's a very personal question and only need to be shared if you feel the need to share it. I want to share with you for me, and Tika and I, of course, like to give examples, and the lines are open, so if you do have a comment or a question, now is a great time to get in. I'm going to check it real quick, make sure we're not missing anyone. Okay, but the lines are wide open. For me, I want to just share with you all what helped me. Again, I mentioned that I was going to church. There was times, a couple of times, actually, because we are, as you know, people are in and out of church a lot. We are on and we're off. We're hot and we're cold. And some at some point you just get it. And I think age, with experience, with learning that you are just not in control of your life, that your life does not belong to you. So with me, what helped me tremendously is two things, probably more, but two things that stand out to me is, number one, seeing myself as God sees me. That learning to see myself as God sees me. The second thing was, and I've mentioned this before, comparing my relationship with Christ to how I feel about my son. And then realizing on top of that is that there is no comparison. As much as I love my child, there is no comparison. It cannot compare to how God loves me and you. So, again, seeing myself as God, it allowed me to recognize my worth, look at God as my father. And so for those of you who don't have that earthly father or a earthly father, because we do need those relationships here on earth as well. We do need them. So we're not minimizing the fact that we do need our mothers, our fathers. And not only do we need you around just visually, we need to be emotionally connected to our earthly fathers. But it is what it is, people. We can't make our parents or our sisters, our brothers, our cousins, we cannot make those people have a relationship with us. We cannot tell anybody, or we cannot make them. We certainly can tell them how we need to be loved and what we need from them, but it is their choice to get to acknowledge that and to attempt to love you the way you need to be loved. But see, all of that is so different with God. So different with God. So again, seeing myself as God sees me, acknowledging that he is my father and that what he wants for me is all those things that are good for me, just as what I want for Brant, my son, all those things are I want nothing but the best. So think about that. As much as you love your child or whomever it is in your life that you think that you love so much that you give your life for, that is nothing compared to what God or how God loves me or loves you. So those are the two things. And in addition to, or to put more emphasis on my relationship or my love for my own child, you know, I go to, as much as I love Brandon and I love him no matter what, God loves us no matter what. I'll help Brandon through anything. God, oh, wow, can't he say enough for that? He pulls us through everything. How many times do we have to go to God? But the main point in that is the person that I love the most here in this world, and that, again, I would give my life for, that God is the person that I go to in prayer for him. So, you know, I have to go to God because there's only so much you can do as a parent. Kids grow up, they become their own people, and there have been times where I've thought, is this child mine? Then I remember, or sometimes even, where did you go wrong? And, you know, not saying that he's been so terrible, but kids are kids. We've all been that age, and we've all, I'm sure, made our parents feel like, whose child is this? But still did not change the fact that I love this child because he is my child, and I want the absolute best for him. So that's how God sees me. And you know, can't say enough about how parents see their children. You can barely tell them that their children have did anything wrong most of the time. So again, God sees us in such a light that we cannot imagine. There's nothing we can say or do for me that just helps me to imagine how much God loves me. Even when I think about it, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, particularly when I compare it to how I feel about my own son. Tika, do you have anything before we move on?
Go ahead.
Tika?
Yes.
Okay. You have anything?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to check the lines real quick, and I'm going to check the chat line as well. Don't want to miss anybody. Okay. Again, we do have a caller, so we're going to just stop and take our caller.
The caller is
770, area code, last
4802.
Caller? I think they might have pressed one by mistake. We have 770. I think that's the Georgia with the last four digits of 8026.
Yep.
Okay, maybe they selected the number one in error. Again, if you select the number one, that'll tell us that you do want to be pulled in and that you have a question or a comment on tonight's topic or any topic. So, again, select the number one only if you want us to pull you in for that reason, okay? So getting back to we were kind of talking about the relationship, how seeing God as seeing myself as God sees me, and then also just comparing my love for my own son with based on how God loves me. And I want to be clear that you all understand that I do realize that there is no comparison to how God loves me versus how I love Brandon. So I want to be clear on that. And another thing I want to bring out is when you think about your relationship with, and just for the sake of using, I think everybody would prefer to use husband-wife or a dating relationship. And I in the relationship with God, I think so many people try to hide who they are. We don't go to God in truth, even with the things that, even knowing that God is our creator and knows everything about us, everything, before we bring it to him, he knows what that is. And for me, I remember when, as crazy as this sounds now, but I would pray and I would too try to keep things, like I wouldn't pray for certain things as if, okay, God, I hope you missed that one. You know, I'm not going to ask forgiveness for this thing, and I hope you missed that one. And as crazy as that sounds, we don't go to God in truth. I think we take certain things to God. We don't take our mess, basically. We don't pray for those things that we can't overcome and just say, God, here I am. And that's what you have to do in order to establish that relationship. And again, the relationship, God never moves. I'm not saying, we're not saying, so don't misinterpret that. We're not saying that God, you just have to fight to get this relationship with God. Establishing that relationship is for us, of course, so that we can grow and know who we are through Christ. But so many times, again, like I was saying, we go to God not with everything. You know, we don't say, God, well, I'm jealous of this person. I'm envious of this person. Well, I want this, I mentioned to you last week, I want this house. You know, you go over someone's house and their house is huge and they have all these things and it's beautiful. But you have your home. You have a place to live. But you go there wanting, boy, or thinking, this is so nice. I wish I had this. Lying, gossiping, worrying, you know, lack of faith. I think there's so many times we try to hide things from God. And when you think about the aspect of relationship, husband, wife, particularly with new dating, with dating someone or meeting someone, how we often try to hide who we are, all at the same time wanting this person to become, especially I'm talking to women, wanting this person to become our significant other. But we start out with falseness, so to speak. We want to try to not let him know that I have this or, you know, I'm not so perfect here and I'm not so perfect there. We hide so many things. Well, what are you going to do if that person does become your significant other? How do you continue to hide those things? And why would you want to? So why not say, here I am. If we move forward with this, this is what you're getting. That way when you're there, they're not shocked like, wow, who is this? I don't know how true this is, but I remember hearing the story about Tyra Banks, and again, I don't know how true this is, but I remember hearing the story where she was out somewhere, I guess, and she was dating someone, and she was out without her makeup and her weave, and he was basically like, who the frank are you? Who are you? Because you look totally different. Well, if you're going to spend the rest of your life in a relationship with someone, if that's you're going out with the purpose of we're going to be together, hopefully, and in most cases, that's where we all go, particularly women, before the second date, we're thinking, well, what about this? Well, if you're thinking about that, this person should know you, all of you. And you should be okay with that person seeing all of you. Well, what we're saying tonight is God already knows all of you, everything about you. The things you try to keep, things that are not so glamorous, the things that you are not so proud of that you did or didn't do or that you said about somebody. So God already knows, but in spite of, he loves us just the same. He loves us just the same and is never, never apart from us. He's there, as he says, I'm there. Open the door. I'm right there. So keep that in mind, and I really want to put emphasis on asking yourself, what is my relationship with God, and what does it mean to me? And again, if I'm in the elevator, what would be my elevator speech in helping that person know that I know who I am in Christ?
I certainly do know. So I would love to hear some people or some of our listeners come back and share that with us next week, maybe, if you do that this week and you come to some realization or, you know, it blesses you. We'd love to hear it because, again, there is no relationship more important than your relationship with God. He is your creator. He knows you. He loves you just as you are and wants nothing but the best for you. And through him, we can do all things. The word tells us we can do all things. And I have some things that I want to share, and there's some real-life stories, particularly one that happened Sunday. But I'm gonna hold off. I want Tika to get back in and share what she has. And again, I want to come back and share some things with you because for me, they were so profound, particularly with the show being about relationship with God. And so often I hear people asking the same question. I asked this question so long during my process of really getting to know God. How do I know that it's God speaking to me? When do I know that it's God and not myself? When do I learn to be discerning and know that I know that I know that it's God? And so these things that have happened over the, particularly this last weekend for me, but there's one other story that I want to share with you that one of my friends shared with me about 2 weeks ago. And I really anticipated sharing it before now, but it's so timely for it. And she's a friend that almost, I could say, went from, I don't know if I really want to say a non-believer, but coming from a place to where, you know, they don't worship God a lot. So she came over and she just grew in Christ like none other. And I remember that being her saying, how do I know it's him? Sometimes sobbing, how do I know that it's him? I get so confused and so forth. And we've watched each other grow and blessed each other so much through it until when she told me this story, I thought she finally feels comfortable and she knows. And God has allowed her to see and said to her in this manner, my child, I hear you. I hear every thought. I'm here for you. I can process your thoughts in a matter of seconds because I know them before you think them. So I want to share those things with you before the show ends because I think it's such a blessing because to me it's like God coming down and sitting right with me and just holding me, allowing me to lay my head on his shoulder or lay my head in his lap and just loving me saying, I hear you, I'm here. I know all of it. And so, Tika, I'm going to turn it back over to you and then hopefully share those stories. Well, Tika, if you don't mind, we have a caller. I'm going to get that person in, okay?
Okay.
Okay, this caller is from the 770 area code, but the last four is 8021. Caller, you're on the air with us.
I made a mistake, Tammy. It's your cousin.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you don't have a comment?
No, it's my birthday. So.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So we're going to put you back in hold mode, okay?
That's okay.
All right. Sorry about that. Okay, Tika, you can go ahead.
Okay. I wonder if so many people have this fear when they hear the word commitment and when they hear the word relationship. When you hear that, there are people that have a fear of commitment and a fear of, you know, their relationship as well. But knowing that you have to have a committed relationship with God, I wonder if that's something that they tend to pull back from in thinking that, okay, I know what commitment means. Okay, I know what relationship means, and that's something that I don't want a part of. But I think they're placing that in the same realm and the same understanding as the type of relationship and the type of commitment with another human being. And that is two totally different types of relationships. The relationships in our human relationships, whether it was with mother, father, sister, brother, coworker, yeah, husband, wife.
Tika, I'm sorry, but say that for me one more time. I just want to make sure. Would you say that? Would you go over that part one more time, please? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Okay. I believe that some Christians, and some people most of all, whether you're Christian or not, I think that a lot of times they have naturally a fear of commitment and a fear of relationship. So they place, just knowing that, you know, they're told to have a commitment with God and a relationship with God, just hearing those two words set fear up in them. And I think that they place that in the same understanding and the same realm of the of a commitment and a relationship with a human being, when it is totally two different things. That fear of commitment and relationship could have been brought on by your upbringing, whether it was mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, coworker. It could be something that you went through that was truly devastating, but it was with a human being. And so they have this one vision of what commitment is and one vision of what relationship is, not realizing that with God it will be unlike any type of commitment or relationship with another human being. And the reason for this is because all humans are imperfect. All humans are incapable of giving you the exact kind of perfect love you truly desire, that perfect unconditional love that God is able to give to you. No human being can give you that type of love. So when you decide to make a commitment into having a relationship with God, you will not reap the same results simply because he's not a man. He cannot lie. He's faithful on every word that is in the Bible. He is faithful. He is incapable of making mistakes. He is incapable of deceiving you. He's incapable of hurting you. God is not a human being. He is not a man. He is not a woman. He's not your mother. He is not your father. He is not your friend that hurt you. He is not your coworker that hurt you. He is not any of the people in your life who have brought some type of pain in your life. That's not who God is. Those people didn't create you, but God did. And when you put it in the perspective of like a parent-child relationship, when you love your child, we've heard this place in this type of scenario so many times. When you love your child, there's nothing you won't do or give to your child, but you won't give them everything they ask for freely because you're trying to teach them what it is to, you're trying to teach them discipline, you're trying to teach them respect, you're trying to teach them virtue, you're trying to teach them values. There's so many things you're trying to teach them. So if you gave them every single thing, and my daughters, I love them to death, but if I gave them every single thing they wanted, what am I teaching them and what am I preparing them for when it's their time to go out into this world and be the adult that they need to be, the wife they need to be, the mother they need to be? It is in that same relationship with God. He's not going to just give you what you want simply because you ask. And then when you think of times when you throw temper tantrums, when you're not getting what you want, think of your two-year-old or your three-year-old or that child, no matter what age, when they throw a temper tantrum, that doesn't make you stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. Let me make sure I give you whatever it is that you want simply because you are throwing a fit. No, that makes you say, a lot of times we'll say, okay, now you're really not going to get what it is you're asking for, or now it's delayed because I'm trying to teach you patience. So many of us, we don't even want to ask God to teach us patience because we live in a right now world and we expect to have a right now God. And God is not a right now God. He is our creator. We didn't create him, and we cannot give him demands on what it is that we want in life. So I think a lot of times that we humans have this fear of commitment and fear of relationship, and that's something that we pull away from getting into with God, just thinking that we could just float on through life and we can find this void filler in diving over here. I'm going to dive into this job, or I'm going to dive into the relationship with this person, or I'm going to dive into this hobby. We dive into so many things seeking complete wholeness, and things do not give wholeness. Careers do not give wholeness. Children do not give wholeness. Parents do not give wholeness. Money, that does not give wholeness. All these things will not make you whole. You can only seek wholeness through the one who created you. There is, for me, I know that there is no other way for me to seek wholeness through no other area of life or whatever this world could possibly offer me. There is no way, shape, or form that I can receive wholeness in anything or any person. And it's not like I haven't tried. I've tried all types of way, but they were, I tried a whole lot of Tika ways. I want to give you a small example of what I wind up reading with the parent-child analogy that I found on a site. And I just want you to just kind of just imagine for a moment, just kind of take a step back and just hear the story, but imagine this is your story, and imagine this is you walking in these shoes, and these are two different children that you have. Okay, now, if you're a parent, and this is for parents because a lot of us are, but there are some of us that are not parents yet, and so you can put yourself in this understanding because you have a parent or you have, you know, siblings or friends with parents, you know, people who have children, and you're sitting and making preparation on what type of parent you will be when you do have children. Okay, so I like to start with, say you have two children. You have one child that wants to hang out with you all of the time. Every opportunity he has, he wants to hang out with you all the time. He comes home from school, tells you everything that happened to him that day, tells you how his day went. He tells you the good, the bad, what the teacher did, what the teacher said, told you about recess, just told you so many things, just tells you everything. Tells you every little thing that went wrong. He gives values, you know, on his opinion of what took place in school. This is all why he's young. He's doing all these things. Then he gets a little bit older and a little bit more mature. All of a sudden, he wants to hear more about you. He wants to hear more about your life and your problems, and he likes to hear things that he can understand from your perspective. He wants to know more about your past. He wants to know more simply about you. What do you do? What do you like? Why do you like these things? This child is truly abiding in you and truly living in you because they want to know all about you. What makes you smile? What makes you sad? What makes you feel good? What do you truly enjoy doing? This child is abiding in you because they truly, truly are wanting to know about you. You feel like you are in him, and you feel one in spirit when this child is truly wanting to know all about you, because all of a sudden it doesn't become about this child no more telling you about his day. All of a sudden it becomes about, okay, tell me about your day. And so then you have a second child. Now, this other child, he could care less about you or your personality. The only time this child ever approaches you, even when he was young, is just basically just going as far to act like he cares about you, not really wanting to know it. And when he was a child, he was the child that came home telling you about his day and everything when he was a child. But when he got older, that feeling of about me and about you, that didn't separate. It stayed about the child. So he grows older. And like I said, the only time he approaches you is when he needs something specific, when he wants to come to you to ask for something. He will even go as far as to act like I said, he cares about you. And whenever he wants a certain thing, he'll you know, act like he loves you, or say the things to you, you know, to get what he wants. I love you. I miss you. You mean everything to me. Just whatever he can just to get what it is that he wants. So once he gets what he wants, he's right back to ignoring you until the next time he needs something. Now, these are two children that you have. So as this, you know, child that is just, you know, the one that is needing and wanting everything, but then, you know, doesn't really want to have anything to do with you other than when he wants something, as this child grows older, you grow farther apart from the child because the child is growing farther apart from you. So when he's finally able to leave home and be on his own, you never hear from him again unless he needs something specific from you, and then he'll call you. But other than that, you will hardly ever hear from him at all. Now, if you're the loving father or mother of these two children, which of the two will you have a strong natural desire to help whenever they have a need or whenever they call on you for something? You'll have no natural desire to help the one who's been using you over all these years. However, with a child who's established a true loving personal relationship with you, you will bend over backwards to give that child any and everything they may want to need. Why? Why is that? The reason you will do this is because you know that he loves you. You know that he loves you no matter what. This child has as much of an unconditional love for you as his flesh possibly can. He does not love you for what you can do for him. He loves you for the person that you are. He loves you for the friend that you've become to him and for him over all these years. So, in fact, your love for this son or this daughter will be so great that many times you'll give them what he or she needs even before they ask. and you do this because you are so tuned into this child, because this child was so tuned into you, you will know what he'll need sometimes before he even asks. Then you'll also, like I said, want to give him things prior to him asking for it, and you'll give him extra just because, you know, the love and the relationship that he has made with you intentionally and on purpose, all because of the good personal relationship that he's established with you over the years. So this is the same way we can look at our Father in heaven, who we tend to have the type of relationship with him that we want. This is a choice that we have. Are we going to be that first child, that child that, you know, wants to know so much about him and who is he and what is he like and what is he all about? Or are we going to be the child that, well, I'll call on him when I need something. And then I'll say all the things and I'll do all the things and I'll go to church and I'll pay tithes for a little while and I'll interact with some more people and I'll act like I love people and I'll go serve a few homeless people. I'll do some things just to get what I want. And then or a lot of times we do those things when we're in our dark places. We start jumping in and diving and serving. And then as soon as we seem to be back on our feet, it's like we just forget all about it. We forget where he pulled us from. We forget what he's done for us. And it's almost like we make him our on-demand God. We have on-demand everything else. Let's make him our on-demand God. And so we have a wrong perception of what it means to have a committed relationship with him. Please understand that a committed relationship with him, to love him, is not as if it is not the same as a committed relationship and love towards another human being. These are not the same in no way, shape, or form. And this is not us just telling this. I mean, the Bible is full of promises. They're not promises for certain people. They're promises for everyone. But it's up to you to accept, believe, and have faith in the promises. That is completely our choice. And so that was just, you know, my little story on the two examples of what it means to do that. And again, you know, as a word of caution, God cannot be tricked or duped. You cannot try to enter into this kind of personal relationship with him in order to get whatever you want or whatever you desire. All of your motives must be pure. Believe me, he can recognize when your motives are not pure because he knows your heart. And whatever's in the heart comes out of the mouth, and whatever's in your heart comes out in your behavior too. You can't fake it. Whatever's in your heart, that is who you are. So you enter into a good personal relationship with the Lord because you want to get to know him personally. You did not enter into this kind of personal relationship with him to see how much he can give you. In fact, you have a want for him. You want to want to get to know who he is, not for what he can do, like I said, but the Bible tells us to seek the face of God, not the hand of God.
Thank you, Tika. I do want to I was on with that story, but I have a different opinion, and I want to get this out. And again, you guys know that we all see things differently, but the way I see that, and where the story lost me is, I tend to think that, well, number one, God doesn't show favor to any of his children. So it doesn't matter what you did, where you've been, how close you've been to him or away from him. Once you come to God, he's there. And what I think about that is he doesn't remember. He doesn't remember your sin and count that against you. He welcomes you right then and there and meets you where you are. I think for the most part, it's our conscience that creates that disconnect from God. Sometimes we don't feel like we deserve the type of unconditional love that God gives to us. So I just want to be clear that my take on that, again, I think that's a wonderful story, but I want to be clear that because that, and some people can take that wrong and think, you know, and even in this world, I think as people, as families, we tend to kind of navigate towards those children who need us more, who are more lost, so to speak. I know in most cases, the number one child would be considered as the strong child, and you're okay. I don't have to give you as much. I don't have to be there for you as much. In reality, that child needs you even more than the other. It should not be any favor. So God doesn't favor And God certainly does not remember what you did. Once your sin is forgiven, it's over and done. I think that multiplied again, we feel like we can't go back to God with all the stuff that we did. How would God want a relationship with me? What could he do with me? I've disobeyed him. I've strayed away. I've been on and off. I've been hot and cold. But again, when you are ready to go with God, when you are ready, like I said, he's there. If he feels far away, he's not moved. You have. So if you're number one child or number two, that's the greatness of God. He's not our father. He's not our mother. You don't have to guess what he will do or who he will receive and how based on what you've done or not done or how you've responded to them or not responded or your life, your lifestyle. God's saying, come just as you are, just as you are, and I treat you no different. I love you no less. So keep that in mind. Again, I do understand the story, but I want you all to see this in a bigger light. Thank God that even God is not like our mother and father, and you don't owe him anything about your past. Well, God is want you to be from this day forward. You choose me today, and I have the rest. But you have to, again, you have to make a choice to allow God to take care of the rest. And so often we hold on to our mess, we hold on to our bondage, and we don't allow God to do that because we feel so undeserving of it. A lot of times the number two child won't call you because he knows. Once he comes to himself, he knows. Sometimes the number two child won't call home because I don't deserve mama. I don't deserve mama or daddy. So sometimes they stray so far away. And they stay so far away for that same reason as they stay away from God sometimes because, again, for the most part, there's nothing a child can do. And I'm talking about this real relationship. I'll use Brandon. There's absolutely nothing Brandon can do to make me not love him and be there for him. Now, does that mean I'm not going to get into Brandon's butt? Nope. Does that mean he's not going to have to be accountable for what he does? Nope, does not. But do I love him any less? Certainly not. Certainly. Will I be there if I had a number two? Thank God I don't. I made that decision. It's not going to happen. That's not for me to do twice. I knew that instantly. I cannot have, for me, I felt like if I had another child, there is absolutely no time for me. Absolutely, because I wanted to pour everything. I knew that there was no way that there's no way I can do my job as a parent with where I am in my life if I had another child. Somebody would go lacking. Something would be missing because I wanted to be the best parent that I could be. So I just wanted to get that out. But thank God that God is nothing, as much as your mom loves you, as much as I love Brandon, God loves Brandon more and will accept even more. God will embrace Brandon after he returns better than I will because Brandon's going to get it from me. I'm not going to forget what he did. That doesn't mean I didn't love him. I don't love him. But I'm certainly not capable of forgetting what he did. I will love him. He could come in my house, whatever. It's his. What's mine is his. Within limits, I'll say. But that's not God. God says, number one child, here I am. My arms are open to you. We start today. Number two child, here I am. My arms are open to you. We start today. So thank God. Thank you, Tika, for sharing that because, again, I think you're right. People look at their relationship, even we compare. There's no comparison to God. We said that earlier. As much as I love Brandon, as much as you love your children, as much as you who are listening love your children, thank God that God loves your child more. And just like the prodigal son, I mean, return. And here I am, God said. Because, again, God has not left us. We stray away. We have a caller. Tika may have some things to comment back on that. But, Tika, if you don't mind, I'm going to get this caller in. Hopefully it's one that wants to come in. We have a caller from the Tennessee 901 area code, the last four is 6407. So we didn't tell you that, but that's how we pull you in. Your area code is 901. The last four is 6407. Caller, you're on the air with us. I guess we're having trouble tonight, people. Okay, select the number one if you want to talk or have a question or a comment. And again, caller, before we disconnect you, it's from 901 area code, and the last four digits of your number is 6407. We'll give you a minute because sometimes I don't know the last four of my number either because we don't call it. 6407, going once, going twice, you're off the air. If you decide that you want to come back in, feel free to do so. Tika, did you have anything? I don't think we have anybody else in queue. So
okay.
Want to add to that?
Yeah, I do. With that story that I gave, I guess I should have also kept emphasis on that this would be the two ideas that we would wind up, not two ideas, but these would be the differences that we would treat our children if these were two differences, if these were two different children, you know, portraying these different types of behavior. But, I did forget to add at the end that, but God is not like that human relationship would be, no matter what. His actions are not like that. And like Tammy said, no matter what, whenever it is time for, whenever you're ready to come back to him, he doesn't see your sins. And that's in Psalm 103 and 12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So we can't calculate how far the east is from the west, but that's just how far our sins are from us. But it's a scripture that I found and I wanted to quote, and it says that this is a sure thing. And it's 2 Timothy starts at 2:11, and it says, this is a sure thing. If we die with him, we will live with him. If we stick it out with him, we will rule with him. If we turn our backs on him, he'll turn our backs on us. If we give up on him, he does not give up on us, but there's no way he can be false to himself. So whenever you want, that is one thing that Tim was saying, when you feel that distance from God, the distance from him is not because he's made the choice to be distant from you. You've made the choice to be distant from him, but whenever you are ready to call back on him and reach out to him, as soon as you call his name, he hears you. He's been there all along. He's just waiting for you to speak, have faith, and believe. He's waiting for you to realize who he is. And there was also something else that I found. The number one reason that God created the human race was for us to have intimate fellowship with him. God has an incredible love for the human race, and he wants more than anything else that we approach him and we enter into a one-on-one, intimate, personal relationship with him. So I'm not going to say that's something we've all grown up with, but that was something that I grew up hearing, that he wanted a one-on-one, personal, and intimate relationship with us. And I also grew up hearing that God was a jealous God. So whatever it is that you put or place before him, that's not something that will be able to stand, whether it's a job, career, or another human being. Whatever you put up on a pedestal, nothing can be put before him. So God is a jealous God. And throughout the Bible, it tells of, you know, his people just, you know, creating and molding idols out of metal and gold and wood and creating all these man-made, handmade idols. And that was very displeasing to God, because he says, make no idol before me. You will serve no other God before me. And that's God, lowercase g, G-O-D. You will serve no other God before me. And our God, he's the uppercase G-O-D. You cannot place something in your life to worship above him. And a lot of times, and anything that you worship becomes an idol. And we don't realize it. Sometimes we intentionally don't realize it. But there are other times that unconsciously we don't recognize that this is something that we've placed before God. It could be our jobs that we dive so much into, our careers that we dive so much into, or something that we give our all to because we love it so much. But by loving that so much, all of the other important things in our lives, whether it be family or our children, everything else is put on the back burner because this is something that we want and that we admire so very much. And anything that you're giving that much of your all and your time to, it becomes an idol. And it becomes your God, because whatever you worship in, or what you don't realize that you worship it, but whatever you're putting your all into, feeling that this is the one thing that can give you joy, make you happy, fulfill you, make you whole, create just this excitement in you that nothing can give you. Once you are leaning towards a certain thing because it makes you feel that good, that becomes a God. And even if you don't recognize it, it becomes a God. And he says to place no God before me. So that is the one thing that, in that story of the two children, and that the difference being is that would be our response to our two human children, because we are imperfect people. People are imperfect. We are capable of making mistakes over and over and over, even in the times that we're trying to have our best walk. There are times we still make mistakes simply because we're human. And mistakes are meant to teach you. Mistakes are meant to grow us. Mistakes are meant to mold us if we learn from them. If we don't learn from them, they just become something that we repeat time after time after time again with absolutely no meaning. So anything that you repeat over and over and over, there's a lesson to learn in that. You don't move on past the grade, move up a level until you pass that test. So, a test and that thing that you're longing for, just realize that you cannot long and load over anything and give time and more attention to anything or anyone or any person more than you choose to give to God. And also in establishing a relationship, for those who really truly would desire to establish a relationship with God, He really wants you to be able to communicate with him 24 hours a day. There's no certain time that you can reach out and call on him. He's available always and forever. He's omnipotent, so he's available to everyone at all times. But this is something that takes time, so don't feel the need to say or beat up on yourself or think, well, I'm a certain age, I should know this by now. No. All of those are just limitations you place on yourself, and your relationship you build with God is one day at a time. And wherever there's areas that you feel that, okay, well, I don't know what to do, or you feel you may not have anyone that you can go to or talk to or seek to learn how to build that intimate relationship with, you can go to him. You can go to him and in prayer ask for what it is that you need. You know, when we ask for the things we need, a lot of people just think that's asking for a car or a job or I need money or I need this, God, this is what I need. No, your needs are, you can have a need on, Lord, show me how to build a more lasting, meaningful relationship with you. Show me what it is that I need to fill this void with you. Because like I said, nothing will fill this human universal desire that is built in all of us. And I mean, I can't go without saying, I can't say enough that you can go and try your best to fill that void. And if you're able to fill it, please feel free to call into one of our shows and let us know that you filled that void on your own way, and you can share with us how you did it. But I just know for me that there's no way that I can fill the void. That's like a God void. There's so many things in life that we can reach out to, and that will give us temporary contentment in, but nothing fills that God void but him.
Thank you, Tika. I want to share with you all something that happened yesterday. And again, this is, to me, so profound with its timing. And then I'm going to share something that happened on Friday while I was out with one of our young listeners, and I'm hoping it's okay to share who she is and all of that, but I'm hoping so, so I'm going to do that. But I want to start with yesterday. And, of course, all week long, I've toggled about the initial – we initially were going to do this show on relationship, man-female love relationship. So Tika and I were talking ironically enough, Tika sent me a text about some scriptures, and one of the scriptures that she sent was something that I needed to hear and receive, because I had been kind of in a debate about our previous show about soldiers of light against darkness, and we talked about being tested versus tempted. And so one of the callers, he and I kind of went back and forth about God testing us and not testing us and so forth. So Tika, one of the verses that Tika sent was specifically about that. So that alone in itself was a moment that I thought, wow, from God. Tika had no idea that I was kind of back and forth with this person about God testing us versus being tempted. But Saturday night just started, I was researching, reading some articles about, you know, relationship and things like that, as we always do during the week. And I came across one article that put emphasis on the Lord's Prayer. And it was talking about, you know, what the Lord's, not necessarily breaking the Lord's Prayer down, but it put emphasis on the Lord's Prayer and having a relationship and what Jesus told them to pray, he told them how to pray, basically. So about 2 years ago, I guess, give or take some, my pastor went over the Lord's Prayer. He broke it down. And I remember at that time, the Lord's Prayer took on a whole new meaning to me. And for quite a while, I prayed that prayer every morning, for quite a while. I can't tell you when it stopped or when I stopped praying it. I only thought about that I stopped Saturday night as I was reading the article. Well, Saturday night passed. I get up Sunday morning for church. The Lord's Prayer is on my mind again. I'm feeling the need. I'm going to start back praying this prayer every morning. And I get in my truck and I'm headed to church. And I decide this morning that I'm not going to have the radio on or anything. I'm going to continue to recite the Lord's Prayer. I got to the point where it says, "And lead us not into temptation." And I got stuck there. And this is after a couple of times of reading it, even as I was getting dressed and getting ready for church. For some reason, the tempted versus tested came back to me, and I went into a state of confusion. And one of, I call my spiritual mothers, I thought, I have to ask her about this. She and I had talked about tested versus tempted on Saturday during our meeting with our young girls. We call them, again, the 901 butterflies. We shared that with you. So she and I had talked about it as the girls were eating. We broke for food, and so she and I was talking about it. So I thought, I'm going to ask her about this part, because why does the Lord's Prayer, and even though I prayed this for a long time, heard it a million times, but we all have heard the Lord's Prayer a million times. So for this day, lead us not into temptation, just stuck with me. So I get to church, and my spiritual mom sings in the choir, so she's singing. I get to church, I sit down, and once the singing is over, she always comes down and she sits. We sit in the same little area, and a few minutes had passed, and I even got to church and started looking. I knew that it was somewhere in Matthew, but I couldn't remember where, and so I was looking because I wanted to read more about the temptation. Lead us not into the temptation part. I wanted to know more about that. So she comes and she sits by me. We had said nothing other than hello, good morning, or whatever. And after maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, she hands me a piece of paper. The piece of paper is the Lord's Prayer Explained. So I give her this probably out-of-body experience look is the best way to describe it, you know, for this purpose. But I'm sure to her, I probably looked like a ghost. And she looked at me as if, what's wrong? And so I asked her, I said, why did you give this to me? And she replied, I don't know. I just felt the need to give it to you. She had gotten it from someone that morning. And here I am praying, I mean, on the way to church saying, I'm going to talk to her about this. I need to know more about this. It's stopping me in my tracks. And so I'm sitting there almost in tears, just wanting to break, not out of sadness, but to me. And I told her this. It took me a moment to just kind of get it together inside, because I truly felt like God came and just sat right there with me that morning. and saying, okay, here you are. This is what you need, and I'm providing it. There's no way. I mean, there's no way she could have. God does things like that. And I think it's during those times that he's saying, again, like we said earlier, I know your thoughts. I hear you. I know them before you think them. I know what you need, even in this moment. I know what will give you a little bit more, you know, because I tell you, after, as I said, we met with the young girls on Saturday, and these meetings are getting deeper and deeper, and I'm emotional. I am an emotional person, particularly when it comes to children and young girls, because I was one of those hurting young girls. And I wished I had spoke up and said, you guys, I'm lost here. And so in doing and meeting with them, for me, this particular meeting, it just took the life out of me, so to speak, because it really got deep. I challenge anybody, anywhere, if you have anything to give, if you have any sense of wanting or yearning to volunteer or to give back, please contact us, because these young ladies are hurting. I don't want to get off the subject, but to get back to it, I felt like why are we doing this? We cannot change these girls. They are so far gone. But that's, being honest, that's how I felt. So much so that I just felt like nothing. I felt just like giving up. So to me, it was like God saying, okay, my child needs a little bit more today. And God, that's what I'm telling you all, having a relationship with God, he knows it all. He knows when you're hurting, when you need more, when he can just kind of let you go, when he can send you out there, and I'm going to say this, when he can allow you to be tested, you know, he knows all of that. And so, you know, as I was studying, I came across, as we grow into the image of God, we begin to attract things of light and repel the things of darkness. And I'm going to say that again, as we grow into the image of God, and that's what that relationship does. It grows us into that image of God. And remember, we were created in his image. But as we do that, we begin to attract the things of the light and repel the things of the darkness. Last week's topic was soldiers of light against darkness. We should be soldiers of light. We should be fighting darkness. We said last week that Satan should have to go prepare to come before us, because we should be so prayed up. We should know what our evil desires are. I believe that was James or Mark. I can't remember. Mark. I think it was Mark. Talking about, you know, we're tempted based on our evil desires. We should be true. That's coming back to being truthful with to God, because he knows. Be honest that I know what I'm struggling with. I'm struggling with this area of my life. Don't hide it. Don't treat it like, you know, talk to women again. You know, we go to the mall and we don't bring the bag in the house. We put it in the trunk. And then when the husband's gone, we sneak it in, and he says, oh, baby, when did you get that? Oh, I had it a long time. That's what we're God knows, you know, because I'm tempted and I failed. Where did this come from? God's like, you had it all along. I knew, you know. So don't treat it like that. That's the one place that we're able to say, God, here I am. And as we were saying about, you know, piggybacking off of Tika's story, God doesn't care if you're number one child or number two. He didn't know how many hidden bags you have in that trunk, you know, trying to keep from bringing it in. So he didn't know you spent money that you didn't have or shouldn't be buying because you got 100 purses and you got a number 101 in the trunk. You can't hide it from God. You can't hide it. So that was one story. I'm going to try to keep the other one short. That was one story. And, again, such an awesome experience. And I told, you know, I told her, I said, God, you just don't know how this has blessed me. Well, Friday, one of our listeners, Stacy, and for those of you who have listened, you've heard Stacy call in a number of times. Well, Stacy came down to visit, and we hung out Friday, and we were just, she wasn't feeling so well, so we didn't get to do everything we wanted to do, but we did manage to go to the mall. We didn't really stay there, and then went to this those of you who know me, the thrift store is my kind of store. So I took her to this little thrift shop, and they have these barrels where they mark jewelry down. You know, it was $1.99. Everything was $1.99. So that was like Christmas to us, and at birthday and everything else. So we were digging, and we're on this fascination for butterflies because of Butterfly Evolution Show and all the things that we're doing. So we come across butterflies, pendants, and they were so darling, and again, $1.99. So we were on a binge to find more. We were just searching for more, and we had searched for so long until I thought, you know, there's no more in here. And so I said that, I said, oh, well, God, I guess there's no more in here. And I don't know if Stacy's listening, but if you are, Stacy, feel free to let me know you're listening. We'll pull you in. But as soon as I said that, it was like we kept finding butterfly after butterfly pendant and butterfly in the same barrel that we've been looking in. I don't know, we probably stayed in the store an hour, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 minutes in the barrel because everything was $1.99. But so much so till we just had a row of butterflies lined up. We started just asking people if they want this one because we had just kept finding them. And we just took that as, again, another moment from God. And Stacy was just, I think, as excited as I was. And I think I have Stacy on air. Stacy, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, wasn't sure you were listening. Thank you. So why don't you share a little bit of that story and how it blessed you?
Where do you want me to start?
I don't know. Wherever you like.
Okay. Okay. So I remember moving to Knoxville, and I always told myself that I wanted to get back into going to church up there, and as I started to go to church and I started to read more and starting to have a connection with God and growing with God, I started to build a relationship with you, well, Miss Tammy. And I guess the whole topic of having a relationship, yeah, you have to have a relationship with God so you can grow as a person. And when you meet people or meeting you, it was such amazing. He gave me somebody like a mother figure in my life, which I cherish now because we had that conversation last night. But when I was with you, I was like, you remind me so much of my mom, the things you say and how you act. And I was like, getting to know God, he's brought somebody during this time of my life who is like a mother figure to me. I cherish that. But when we went to that half and half, we were looking at shoes and, of course, looking at clothes. And we came up to the bin where the drawer was. And then I don't know who found the butterfly first. Was it me or was it you? I can't remember at that time. But it was like,
you.
Was it me?
I think it was you.
And it was like, I think I saw another one, but we started looking through these bins and we found butterfly after butterfly after butterfly. And I remember I was like, I've been in this bin since, it had to be like a good 5 minutes. I was just picking up, throwing down, picking up, throwing down. And it got to the point where I was just like, you know, maybe this bin doesn't even have butterflies in here anymore. And it just seems like, as we kept saying, like, well, I know in my head, I was like, well, you know, maybe this bin doesn't have any butterflies anymore. And it just kept, every time I thought that, we found another butterfly. And you would think that, and we found another butterfly. So it was like, I guess me and you, we had this, it's weird. We have a spiritual connection or looking for these butterflies. Like, we wanted to give up, but at that time, we did it. So we kept searching and we kept searching. We kept finding more butterflies. We literally had a good 10 butterflies in our hands, 5 apiece, looking in these bins. And I just think building a relationship with God at such a young age, he will give you things that you're missing. And like I said, I know me and my mom have been through things, but getting that relationship with God, I found the mother figure in you. And that's something I can always say I can cherish. So that's my story.
Thank you, Stacy. And again, this is just, it's God. It's not me, because this Tammy wants to be home in bed, and I'm sure Tika wants to be her girls. So it's not us. It's us wanting to just share how God has blessed us. And Tika and I have seen each other grow. I don't know how long it's been now. I forget, but it seems like it's just always been. It just seems like it's been. It never wasn't. But we've watched each other grow, and it's just the grace of God. It really, really is. I mean, to see where we are now and how I feel like we are attracting light, things of light, and that we're repelling from darkness. But it was a progress for us. It was a progress. It was some days we cried, some days we laughed, some nights we cried, some days we didn't want to be around each other. So we've grown. And what we are wanting to tell you, it's not us. I mean, I won't speak for Tika, but for me, and I think Tika's the same, but I don't want to speak for her. We, in our strength and our own being, we could not do this. We could not prepare for these shows. God just orchestrates these shows. You know, even with relationship, Tika was tuggling with what we had decided, and I guess I had decided it, but she just didn't want to say anything. And I said, Tika, no, say when you're not feeling it, because I wasn't feeling it, but I didn't know what to do with it. But I wasn't feeling it. She wasn't feeling it. And just because she sent that message, for whatever reason, I don't know why you sent it, Tika, but she sent me something just saying, read this. And it was just what I needed. And so we're connecting. And by us connecting and bringing God into our life, we're able to bring you those things that God is ready for you all to receive. So share the show with other people and help us grow this show, because that we're doing this. We spend a lot of time searching, a lot of time talking back and forth. So it does take time to put this together. Tika and I don't receive a dime for this. We actually pay out to do this. So share it. We hope that you keep growing. And we're just, I didn't get to share all the stories. I'm sorry, but you all get the picture. So continue to share it. Stacy, thank you. And I'm going to turn it back over to Tika. And Tika, we have about 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay, I'd just like to leave you with this. God can satisfy and meet the deeper longings of your soul and spirit that no human could ever reach. He can truly give you a perfect, pure, and unconditional love that no other person will ever be able to give you in this lifetime. He will be able to love you better and deeper than anyone else, including the good natural love relationships you have with your parents, children, marriage mates, and some of your better friends. You can totally trust God because he is totally and completely perfect in all of his ways. He will not hurt or harm you, and he is completely and 100% trustworthy. God is faithful, and his word is faithful, and he's totally incapable of doing anything opposite of his word. So God's love for you is unconditional. And I also like to before that, let me give my references. I got my information tonight from BibleKnowledge.com, the Center for Relationship Enrichment, Wikipedia, BibleGateway.com, and GotQuestions.org. And the scripture is, love is patient, love is kind. It's not jealous, does not brag, it's not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things, and love never fails. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Butterfly Evolution. I hope that this show has in some way inspired you on your life walk. And I hope that this show also leaves you feeling more empowered, enlightened, and full of joy. Hopefully you'll tune in again next week. And thanks again for joining us. God bless you. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Tempted versus tested is next week's topic. Please share the word. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.